right. The time is 2 minutes in the off 6 o'clock, and this early morning scoop. It's Friday, the 23rd of May, 2025. A very good morning to you, all the Eagle FM listeners, wherever you are tuning in from, whether it's through our website and, of course, maybe the app. Thank you so much for really, really, truly choosing us every day. So we really appreciate that. So this is the Early Morning Scoop. This is the show where we give you the economic news update, entrepreneurship, looking at trade within the country and, of course, around the world. Please also, before I give you the international part of the eat, please do not forget to connect with us on our social media platform. Eagle FM Namibia, you find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, as well as the Village Newspaper page on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Do not also forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel. That is Eagle FM Media House, Eagle FM Media House, and just for daily news update. And of course, the newspaper alert. Today, the newspaper is out. I wish and I hope you will also get that time and to check, to scan through and also read and keep yourself informed. And how you can do that is only you can simply just send through your details to 081-241-444, 081-241-444. That's the number you can send through your details. That's including your name, your number, your email. Or you can simply just subscribe to the channel that is Eagle FM Media House. Then, of course, you can be getting the newspaper and the news updates daily. And please do not forget to download our app, Eagle FM app, available on Google Play Store and on Google Play and App Store, just to stay informed wherever you are. Go wherever you are, you can able to tune in through the app. And of course, you can able to rather listen to past shows. If you missed out to from your favorite shows, you can able to listen through the podcast. Very, easy to do that. And yeah, to start off with international news is that in Tanzania's fashion industry is undergoing a transformation driven by young designers branding Swahili culture with global trends. Now streets fashion, once informal, is now a platform of self-expression, income, and international recognition. Now creatives are shaping a new identity for Tanzania's fashion despite challenges like limited funding and training. We might take a lesson.
Humble beginnings, James Ndomba has emerged as one of Tanzania's fastest growing street fashion designers. He's known for urbanized African prints. His breakthrough came in 2020 as a finalist in the Swahili Fashion Week, Washington Ben Bella Emerging Designer. Since then, he's featured in major events like Lady in Red Fashion Festival and Zanzibar Modest Fashion Week, among others. James's rise reflects a wider movement where social media and a new wave of young creatives are redefining fashion in Tanzania. With little formal training, they're building brands that speak to both local identity and global trends.
I made too many, for instance, to miss to pigeons, Miss Universe last year when she went to Mexico, and there's some musician like Serafina Michael. We done a work together. There's some white people from Poland. I've been succeed to they wear my collection from Tanzania and they transfer as a business to Poland.
While exact figures are hard to track, industry insiders say the growth of Tanzania's informal fashion sector is undeniable. Instagram boutiques are booming, local runway events are increasing, and more young people are turning to fashion as a source of income. Across Dar es Salaam, fashion is no longer just style. It's a livelihood, a statement, and for many, a future.
And there's a lot of rise of street fashion now from young designers, that emerging designers that are coming up. A lot of Gen Zs are putting on this, the street fashion. And it's ready to wear, and it's very sellable. And that is why a lot of emerging designers are coming up with street fashion, because it's the market calls for it.
As street fashion continues to grow, platforms like the Tanzania Fashion Festival and Swahili Fashion Week have become essential in promoting young designers. offering them a space to showcase their work.
They're creating their own factories, even though small, but then they're creating their own factories, they're making their own brands, and they're selling them. And they're making employment for themselves, they're making a living out of that. And in the 10 years to come, I think street fashion will have a huge market in Tanzania.
However, while the sector is thriving, challenges remain. Limited access to capital, lack of formal training, and a need for greater recognition of the industry are just some of the hurdles that street fashion designers faced. Still, the determination to grow is evident. The rise of street fashion in Tanzania is more than just a local phenomenon. Across East Africa, young creators are redefining the fashion industry, leveraging social media to break barriers and build global brands.
Right there you have it. Now to move on to the next item in South Africa is that the Household Affordability Index has stressed that those developments come as the cost of filling up a basic food basket already exceeds 5,000 rand. We might take a listen to this particular update.
Was concerns amid these anticipated cost increases.
Thank you very much to Ms. Ang for having us. As your previous speaker said, it could not have come at the worst time. We are already seeing high prices with regard to bonds and lending. And of course, food prices have increased year on year. We did our own food price survey comparison. We do this annually comparing last year's basic food prices to this year. And we are already seeing bakery goods and bread and bakery goods increasing by 13.5% year on year. Maize a whopping 49% increase year on year. And that price will continue to rise as we see maize shortages affecting prices. and then fresh fruit and vegetables, 48% increase. And oils up 63%. So the fuel levy has just come at worst time when we see prices at an all-time high. Although food price inflation and core inflation or CPI is cooling, it's coming off a very high base. And so we're seeing that this fuel levy increase are going to affect food prices. It's going to affect transport costs and everything across the board is going to skyrocket.
Based on that, could this have been avoided or other alternatives may be used as levers?
I think government should have looked at other alternatives. You know, this is going to affect consumers. Every rand increase reduces the purchasing power of already overburdened consumers. People are already struggling to put food on the table. And I think they should have looked at other alternatives like reducing government spending. There's a huge amount of wastage across national, provincial and local governments that's either wasted or there's huge amounts of corruption. And I think when we talk billions of rands that have been returned to the fiscus at the end of the financial year because it was unspent, I think other alternatives should have been sought instead of passing that on to the consumer. That's just the easiest way out, but it's going to affect households hard in the coming months.
It absolutely will, Andy, and I'm interested in finding out the juxtapose between a fuel levy and a VAT increase because the outcry is not the same, but we do know, as you've explained, that the ripple and domino effects are likely to be very similar.
Yeah, I think whether it's a VAT increase or whether it's a fuel levy, the VAT increase would have been far worse, of course, because government would have recovered their 75 or 71 odd billion rand that they require and the shortage on the fiscus. And the fuel levy, as the Minister of Finance has said yesterday, will not come close to reaching that shortfall. So I think either would have affected consumers, VAT would have been worse. So I must say it is the lesser of the two evils. But I think government should have put their heads together, that the GNU should have looked at alternatives without passing that cost on to consumers, because food prices are definitely going to go up in the coming months. We may see core inflation, which is at 2.8% as we the other day, is going to tick up slowly because this is going to be passed on to consumers and people are struggling. There's huge amounts of debt which they are turning into. Some of that debt is unsecured lending and the amounts are increasing. And then, of course, underserved communities are using loan sharks to access debt and they're using their salaries against that and their wages against that. And it's not a tenable situation. It does not bode well for growing our economy and improving the livelihoods of people that are already overburdened.
Thank you so much for your comment.
Right, there you have it. The time is 12 minutes in the after 6 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. Now, to move on to the next item, is that the chairperson of Standing Committee of Finance has warned against what he called promoting government based on populism, and this as the full levy increase announced by the finance minister, Enoch Godongwana, during the budget in Parliament on Wednesday. Now, it's being rejected in some quarters. We might take a listen to this update.
Various committees of parliament dealing with finances dissecting the 2025-2026 national budget. Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana proposed a general fuel levy increase of 15 and 16 cents per litre for diesel and petrol, respectively.
We should not promote a situation where we don't want the public and the corporates to pay taxes. It will not be right that every time the state talks about increasing a tax, we encourage protest. You are not going to run a state based on populism, because there's no state that can function without revenue. Otherwise, if you want to run the government and the state in general based on populism, that you will never raise a tax and you never do this, as some say, that state is going to collapse.
This was the third budget tabled by Godongwana. In February, the cabinet could not reach an agreement over a proposal for a 2 percentage point hike in VAT. And a revised budget in March faced a court interdict to halt a proposal to increase VAT by 0.5 percentage point.
I can tell you, unless something changed this morning, subject to the amendments that Parliament has to make as part of the appropriations process and so on, the parties in the GNU will support the budget ultimately. So it will pass. We will not have this scenario where the budget doesn't pass. I hope Mr. Muloto doesn't kill me for saying that, but I felt this is important to say, because we'll get to a point where if we are irresponsible, then we'll get to a point where people are not going to get paid their salaries. And I don't think we should get there.
The emphasis going forward will be fiscal discipline, among other things.
We are going to make sure that whatever the next engagement we have with any international investor or domestic.
Also says the two countries will continue engaging.
So there's no disengagement. For us, that was one of the key outcomes that we had wanted. Our objective in coming here was to reset relations between the two countries and to reposition our relations, which had become contaminated by some of the issues that had been raised during the engagement.
Despite the tensions, the two countries share economic ties, especially in mining and minerals, with South Africa remaining the U.S.'s largest trading partner in Africa. Joy Kiruki Juma, CGTN.
Julie Shire is in Cape Town and joins us live with more on this. Julie, what an extraordinary diplomatic meeting at the White House. What has been the reaction across South Africa?
Indeed, Penina, this was quite the meeting yesterday. We saw President Cyril Ramaphosa entering the Oval Office with his delegation, very relaxed, very composed, and thinking that this was going to be a very straightforward meeting. But as we know, things took a turn when President Donald Trump decided to show a video, and this was in connection with the allegations that have started to arise in South Africa and around the world about U.S. President believing that there is a genocide happening against white Afrikaner, so white South African farmers, which is quite ill-founded. And so that meeting was, we can say, ambushed or maybe hijacked by that video. And the reaction here in South Africa is a positive one. They were not thinking that this was going to be a safe sail through the Oval Office. It reminded a little bit of what happened in February back with Ukrainian President Zelensky. So it's not as if South Africans thought this was going to be an easy meeting, but the reactions that I've heard and been following is that it was quite a positive meeting. I think what is very important to mention as well, Penina, is that during that meeting, we really saw the government of national unity coming forward when the leader of the Democratic Alliance, John Steyn-Huisen, who is actually the agriculture minister of South Africa, he had to intervene and to explain to President Donald Trump that there is no genocide against white Afrikaners. Yes, there is a law that was passed, a very contentious law of land expropriation without compensation, but that law has not been implemented yet. And it was very important to hear from John Steyn-Huisen that the agriculture sector in this country is very strong and that there are no farm killings. There is a huge level of criminality, and that is the reason why yesterday when we saw that video that was played showing that there are so many deaths within the farming community. But the truth is the majority of the people that are usually killed and have been killed in South Africa are mainly black. So
all right, there you have it. Now, to move on to the next item is that the Islamic Development Bank has held its annual meeting in Nigeria for the first time in 24 years. Now, the conference is a platform for governments, banks, and investors from 57 partner countries to create business opportunity based on Islamic finance services, a growing sector in Asia and Africa. We might take a listen.
Currency generator with a massive added value to our economy.
As it comes close to announcing its 10-year strategy framework, ISDB and Algeria's development visions align. Together, they are eyeing to boost intra-African trade through investing in infrastructure required to enhance continental connectivity.
We're working on logistics to intensify all that is related to aviation and maritime transportation. We even have major projects underway to expand the local Algeria rail network and also possibly connect it to rail networks in neighboring countries. Another major project is a road that will connect the Mediterranean Sea and the Gulf of Guinea, going through Niger and Nigeria.
The Islamic Development Bank is made up of the 57 member states forming the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, 20 countries of which are African, thus making the continent's development essential for the bank's mission.
Africa has been one of the largest beneficiaries of our services, both on the insurance side, on the financing side. And we see still huge potential to support this area because the demand, as you know, in Africa is huge, for especially infrastructure that connect intra-African countries, which is still a big challenge, and this is key for any investment to come to any African countries.
$1 billion worth of agreements were signed during the event, from agricultural projects in the Gambia to flood dams in Oman. A wide scope of developmental projects were signed with ISDB's member states.
The conference aims at expanding Islamic financing services in Africa. And with the continent's massive appetite for energy and infrastructure, Africa is an ideal place for Islamic financing. It's why dozens of Islamic banks from Asia and Africa are here to help in building resilient and sustainable economies. Adel Mahroui, CGTN, Alger.
All right, there you have it. It's 25 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock and this early morning scoop. Now to move on to the next item is that Africa is actively working to enhance its presence on the global tourism stage, now passing the message that the continent is open for business at the appeal of Africa Tourism Export in Kampala, Uganda. The export, one of the largest travel trade events in East Africa, now has attracted industry leaders to support the shared vision of positioning Africa as a powerful player in the global tourism market. You might take a listen.
More than 5,000 trade visitors and tourism professionals have gathered in Kampala for what's fast becoming a continental calendar event. But this is more than a trade show. It's a platform for Africa to tell its story and shape the future of tourism.
By harnessing the tourism soft power, Africa and the region can enhance our global reputation as a vibrant destination with diverse offerings that are attractive to visitors from every corner of the world.
After a challenge.
And we know that if we build regional tourism networks, if we enhance connectivity and accessibility and work together as a region, Africa tourism will be irresistible. It will be unstoppable.
Across the continent, leaders are rallying behind a shared ambition to reposition Africa as a competitive, connected, and sustainable tourism powerhouse.
Emphasis should be on how best we can promote our domestic and regional markets, because the international markets actually, as I gave the example of leading destination, the international market is just 20% of the market. And that's what we should be looking at, that to get to the point whereby our regional markets contribute about 80% of our tourists. Domestic market should be a strong foundation of our destinations and so forth.
The drive to grow Africa's tourism from within through local travel and regional partnerships is gaining momentum across the continent.
Supporting local travel agencies, I think, is very, very important. And it all has to do with the pricing, the costing we have mentioned earlier on. I think it's something we need to give attention to.
From east to west, countries are putting their best foot forward, not in competition, but in collaboration.
With these pavilions behind me, it's clear this isn't just about one country. It's Africa coming together, showcasing its diversity and making a bold push to be seen as one united world-class tourism destination. There's real energy here and a shared vision for where African tourism is headed.
Regional bodies like the East African Community are at the forefront, driving policies to ease travel across borders and unlock the full potential of African tourism. And hosts Uganda believe they have huge potential to grow their industry.
I think Uganda can make itself more appealing to young international tourists by promoting itself positively a lot. Because when you talk to a lot of people outside Uganda, they are even shocked at the vastness and the beauty of the country, yet its promotion outside of Uganda is so limited. So I think we should work more on the advertisement and the promotion on Uganda.
From ecotourism to digital storytelling, Africa is thinking big. And as travelers seek real authentic experiences, the continent is stepping up with fresh ideas.
Right there you had it, and we can take a listen to a very short commercial break, and then once we return, we'll take you through the next update on the international segment.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
All right, welcome back. Now, to move on, lastly, on the international segment, is that Zambia's crop production is expected to increase this year, with the total maize supply estimated to hit over 4 million metric tons. Now, this is according to the 2024 to 2025 crop forecast survey. Now, speaking during the launch of the survey result in Lusaka yesterday, Acting Minister of Agriculture, Xavier Masebo, said the results shows that the country has produced sufficient maize for both human consumption and industrial use. We might take a listen.
2023-2024 agriculture season, due to drought, the country has bounced back with an expected maize yield of over 4,040,645 metric tons. This significantly surpasses the national requirement of over 3,053,000 metric tons. According to the latest crop forecasting survey for the 2024-2025 agricultural season, the highest maize production is expected from Central Province, followed by Eastern and Copperbelt.
In terms of the expected production, we compare last season where we had 1.5 million metric tons. In the current season, 645.59, presenting a percentage change of 141.91%.
The government has welcomed these encouraging statistics and commended the resilience of small and medium-scale farmers who contributed 93% of the total maize production.
These results in a surplus of 501,621 metric tons. However, we anticipate deficits in rice of 55,138 metric tons, wheat of 327,938 metric tons, and cassava flour of 636,921 metric tons.
Ms. Matsebo expressed optimism that the positive forecast will boost the country's food security, further urging farmers not to panic or sell their hard-earned produce at low prices.
Last year's agricultural marketing season experienced an increase in prices of most agricultural commodities due to reductions in the production of these commodities, particularly, of course, for maize. However, the prices for the commodities remain stable over the 2024 marketing season.
Meanwhile, Ministry of Agriculture Permanent Secretary for Technical Services, John Mlongoti, revealed that post-harvest figures with actual production statistics are expected to be released in October this year.
From now until 2027, we are privileged to receive valuable technical assistance from the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, as part of the 50 by 2030 initiative.
The government remains hopeful that the increase in maize production will lead to a continued reduction in mealy-meal prices, ultimately.
All right, there you had it. The time is 34 minutes in the of 6 o'clock, and this early morning scoop. We can take a lesson, or rather can really take a very short commercial break. Then once we return, we'll take you through the local news update. Please do not go away.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook,
Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the
All right, welcome back. And if you just joined us, a very good morning to you once more. And this is Early Morning Scoop. Welcome, welcome. This is a show where we give you the international, rather, entrepreneurship news, the trade, speaking about trade, or speaking about economic news. That's what we give you until the hour of 7:30. And now, to start off, we'll start off with one of our lead story in today's newspaper. Please don't forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel, that is Eagle FM Media House, so that you can always catch up when it comes to the newspaper or the daily newspaper when it's released. That is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, to start here is that the International University of Management, IUM, held its winter convocation on May 22 May 2025, that is yesterday, at the Window Country Club Resort. Graduation, that is graduating 2,501 to the market. Now, the event marks the commencement of a 2-day celebration honoring the academic achievement of graduates across various disciplines. Now, the convocation is segmented into the 4 sessions over 2 days, accommodating the range of programs and, of course, ensuring each graduate receive a due recognition. Now, the graduates and their families gathered to commemorate the culmination of years of dedication and hard work. Now, present at the event were IUM founder and chairperson David Namandi and vice chairperson Osmund Mwandemere. Now, during the event, both David Namandi and Osmund Mwandemere expressed concern over the number of male students graduating compared to female graduates, urging the boy child to be inspired. Now, from the year's graduating class of 2,501 students, majority of 73.3% of those are females, and IUM founder and chairperson Namandi highlighted the university's commitment to drive innovation and excellence. Now, he emphasized the institution's role in shaping future leaders equipped to meet global challenges. Now, apart from academic concerns, Namandi has expressed concerns over the country's higher youth unemployment rate and inequality despite its abundance of natural resources. Now, hence, he challenged the graduates to be part of the solution by coming out as job creators rather than the job seekers. It is totally unacceptable that a nation endowed with natural resources is said to be poor. We reject that's what Namandi said. Now, Namandi indicated that Namibia is still confronted with unemployment and uneven opportunities and urge the youth to aid government efforts by creating more jobs and developing their communities. Now, furthermore, Namandi also reflected on his personal experiences, highlighting the effect that through IUM and related businesses, he has personally created over 400 jobs. Now, as the convocation continues on 23 May, which is now today, IUM remains steadfast in its mission to provide quality education and foster an environment conducive to academic and personal growth. Now, the university extended its gratitude, wishing its graduation success in their future endeavors. Now, on that, my colleague spoke to a few my colleague Patrick Moshela Lukoro or speak rather to few graduates on the importance of the academic qualification and what they can contribute also to the Namibia economy, to the Namibian economy. Now we might take a listen to what the graduates has to say in this regard.
Good morning, Eagle FM listeners. We are coming to you from the Country Club Resort in Windhoek, where excitement is in the air for the IUM graduation ceremony. Here today, I'm joined by Irivan Brito. Good morning, Irivan.
Good morning, madam. Thank you.
What does it mean to you, and what is the way forward from here today?
All right, thank you for your question. It's an exciting moment, and obviously what it means for me is that I have arrived. I've arrived where initially I have planned, so I've learned the power of planning and following step by step. So that's it. And the way forward is essentially to plan the future and use the tools and knowledge that are available at my disposal so that I can, move forward in terms of bringing impact to the nation, the society, whatever I find myself.
Okay. What course did you take?
I'm an electronics and electrical engineer.
Okay, that's very pleasing, very nice. Okay, as Prof. Namandi always has emphasized that students are being trained to go out and create jobs. Now that you have completed your course, how are you going to ensure your success in a job market with such a high unemployment?
Well, thank you for your question. Initially, I intend to offer my service as a volunteer on a volunteer basis, which obviously might grant me some entry level. And definitely, we all know that the market is tight, the competition is high, and therefore, I do intend to offer myself in terms of in order to sharpen my knowledge, and definitely in the future. Continue with business endeavor, because we are not only taught to go be a job seeker, but we are also taught to create our own business and investment, which by God's grace I have started.
Okay, so what is your plan if you happen not to get a job or study for the job you studied for from 5 months from now? Like, what is your plan? What do you plan to do?
All right, thank you for your question. It's a bit personal, yet I'm very happy to share. If I don't it doesn't happen for me to work in the area at which I'm specializing or I've studied, I'm more than happy to start anywhere, because the goal is when we enter into university, we are not necessarily taught to the specialties of the courses or the program. We are also taught to think differently, and I think using my skills as an engineer, particularly, I'm keen or willing to embrace other challenges. I love challenge, and therefore I'm open for different challenges, and I'm definitely gonna do it. I see a lot of testimonies of people that change career along the way, and I'm more than happy. My mind is open enough to understand the reality and embrace whatever comes, but not without fighting.
Okay. Mostly today, Professor was mentioning of how women are being the majority to graduate or then men. Being a boy child, how do you feel about this? And what do you intend to say to other boy childs out there that are yet to complete for their graduations yet to complete their educations, and those that are still in schools? What message do you have to them, or what message can you give to parents to maybe emphasize more on the boy child?
All right, thank you so much. I look at it not from a competitive point of view. I look at it as a good thing. However, their parents, continue encouraging the young men to take this responsibility, this step, because we are the leaders of our homes and households, and not to demerit the woman, as they play a very significant role. I would advise you to train men to be men of convictions, men that are willing and ready to embrace the challenges. And definitely, as one of those that, as one of the few that have managed to get until here, I would say the expectations are high on our side. The level of discouragement are there. However, it is only by God's grace that we can get here. But I share this to you to say, brother, come on stage. Let's take our responsibilities, because we were made to lead as men, and the society is waiting on us. Let's get ready. Come on, buddy, and get up. Let's do something together.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brito. Thank you very much, and enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Rosina Mwateta.
Rosina Mwateta, how do you feel today?
I feel very excited, very overwhelmed. It's all a mix of emotions, yes.
So what certificate or what diploma have you gotten today?
I'm graduating with a bachelor's degree in finance management.
Okay, so what does it mean for you, and what is the way forward?
Well, this is just the beginning of my journey. I am looking forward to going into more qualifications. Like, I'm going into a different qualification next year, so this is just the beginning of my journey.
Okay, as Prof. Namandi always emphasizes, that students are being trained to go out and to create jobs. Now that you have completed your course, how are you going to ensure your success in a job market with such a high unemployment?
Well, I do not believe in unemployment. I believe that there's a place for everyone out there. We just need to search harder and be very committed to what we're doing. But if we just sit at home and say there's no job, so we're not going to get a job. So I'm very persistent. I'm very committed to going out there and searching for a job, although I'm already currently working, but yes.
So where are you currently working? You don't mind.
Currently, I was interning at Rossing Uranium, looking to get a better position there as well.
Okay, so what is your plan if you happen not to get now that position that you are looking forward from 5 months after this graduation?
Well, for me, when one door closes, another door opens. So I believe that God will open another door for me. Might not be where I want, but where He wants me to be.
Okay, thank you very much. What advice do you give out there to those that are yet to graduate or those that are still studying?
The one thing I'll say is to not give up, because with God on your side, you can do all things. So all things are possible with God on your side. So keep on persevering, keep on pushing, and one day you'll be at the stage where I am today as well.
Thank you very much, Rosina. Thank you very much.
All right, there you had it, right there at IUM. Now, next item, my colleague Sharon Seaman has engaged in a conversation with a business owner, Arid Hamukoto, to discuss the importance of customs service in Namibian businesses. We might take a listen to their discussion.
So as we are still continuing with our early morning scoop, so today we are going to talk about customer service. As we all know, that customer service is the support you offer to your customers both before and after they buy or use your products or services. So customer services in Namibia, it's economic development for a long time. The feelings and emotions of customers have not been a priority, especially in emerging Namibia local businesses. So today we are going to look what is the importance of customer services among the Namibian businesses, business, and their relevance to the Namibian economy. So today we are going to engage with one of the business owners, Eliud Hamtoko. Good morning, Eliud Hamtoko, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, ma'am. Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Nice.
So, Eliud, as a business owner, can you tell us why customer service matters in businesses?
Straight into it. Customer services, I actually retired in a business in order for a business to actually thrive. if your customer service is actually not on point,
mm-hmm.
Definitely people like that are surely going to move away from you. They'll go seek for help elsewhere. Merely if the front person that is actually there, that is not serving the people right, yeah, I'm telling you, people are actually going, your business is going to be doomed.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe your customer service is actually one of those potential tasks that you should have within your business. If you don't have that, and then well, despite your product being cheap, people will actually move away from you. So which actually brings your business down if it's not within your means of actually supplying customer services to your clients.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is the relevance of customer's treatment to business development?
Again, like I said before, if you don't have proper customer service, in reference to relevance and your business actually developing, you will not grow if you do not have proper customer service.
Mm-hmm.
So the relevance of you having to want to grow your business and you do not have customer service, I will still stick by you having proper customer service. You have to have proper customer service in order for your business to actually develop and grow.
Mm-hmm. So you mean customer service must be the one in cheer, they must enjoy, or they must, and just to have an easier or enjoyable experience within your brand or something.
At a certain point, some people will even do business with you.
Mm-hmm.
Simply just because your customer service is actually on point. The moment that the client walks in, the greeting is on point. The service you offer them is on point. Some will even offer you water.
Mm-hmm.
Such, it is more little basics are the ones that will actually bring you these wonderful things. But you have to know this. You have to attend to those small little ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my another question is that what are the challenges of effective usage of customer service? You know, sometimes we might face challenges, especially when it comes to businesses. What are those challenges, if we may to speak?
So the challenges I get to see many a times is customers will actually come with different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all up to you as a business person to actually figure out that whatever this person is actually going to bring to me, is it rightfully the correct tool that I'm actually supposed to bring into my business?
Mm-hmm.
Are they giving me a rightful opinion? Is that what I really want for my business to actually thrive, for it to grow? So they will come. There will be many people different, and then overall, they still tell you that the customer is always right. The customer is always right, but you still have to make them feel right.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that they're actually satisfied with what you're offering to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So before we finish the conversation, so how can Namibia improve the customer services in private and public sector? Or what are your opinions to this?
My opinions in reference to businesses actually growing and expanding themselves, thriving within the Namibian economy.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain programs that I actually get to go through. I have an example, Percipio. It's a free program many a times. You have your YouTube online channels that you can actually go through to read. Go through these channels, read on how to actually handle customers.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain situations where customers are actually, some actually come with a soft heart. Some come with attention from elsewhere. It is up to you as a business owner to actually being able to handle certain tasks that will actually come to your table. How do you handle a customer that is actually dissatisfied of the service that you probably offered them? How do you calm them down? And how do you talk to them softly in order for them to actually come back? And then also refer your business to other people and say, I went to Trading Agency or I went to Access Solutions. The services I got offered from them, wow. And they are charmed. You'll be able to tell that, whoa, even the next person that will walk in referred to you, they'll be number one. And a referred customer is the best thing you can actually get as a customer, as a business owner.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so lastly, I just want to ask, how or what will you convince other businesses or business owners, maybe how do they,
the way they need to offer, like customer service to their, when it comes to businesses? What will you say, or how will you convince them?
So to my fellow business owners, it's our frontline.
Mm-hmm.
That is your best tool. And not necessarily only the frontline.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone within the business. As long as a client comes in or walks in or whatever it is that they need, they find you in town with a specific, with your logo on, they need to be able to approach that particular person and be able to get a proper solution as to what you actually do. Who are you? What do you offer? How do you handle these particular people? How do you just give proper satisfaction to these clients of ours?
Mm-hmm.
So, you need to have a friendly heart. That is, it's as soft as possible. That is the best thing that will actually bring your clients more.
Mm-hmm.
Know what people actually need. Know what your products actually are supposed to do within the market. If you know many of the things, understand what the people's needs are.
Mm-hmm.
When you understand what the people's needs are, you will be able to actually give them and offer them the solution that they actually need with proper understanding. So overall, businesses, we need to know what we actually want to offer our clients.
Mm-hmm.
How do we actually put it out there within the market in order for us to actually grow?
Mm-hmm.
And then overall, now I think Namibia is a kind of poor country. Let us show kindness. If we do that, I think it will be a wonderful exchange, and then we can definitely thrive
mm-hmm.
with the many wonderful opportunities we actually have in Namibia.
Okay. So thank you very much, Eliud, for joining us or for maybe taking part in this conversation. And thank you for joining us on Early Morning Scoop. I would like to say have a place there ahead.
Very highly appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Economist Peter Franz also shared his insight on this subject.
Yes. Thank you once more for this opportunity. So now we are talking about the customer service and how important is it in business. So basically, customer service is very important in a business community, be it a service offering or goods selling such business. Customer service is very important because if there are no customers, unfortunately, there will be no business in any kind of sector or any kind of market. Without customers, unfortunately, there will be no business. That's why customer service is very important. And also, when a customer is treated very well, it's create that growth within business. So it creates that growth within business technically, which means that when you give a customer a proper service, it's they tend to pass on the information to their relatives, and then their relatives pass it on to their friends, and then their friends pass it on to their relatives and friends. So basically, that's why they say a word of mouth. It's very important in business market, in business perspective. It's very important because people can release flyers, they can advertise as much as they can, but when they are bad-mouthed, when your business is bad-mouthed by a certain individual, it will affect your business. The business will feel it that even though we have advertised, we are still low on clients. That's because a word of mouth travels faster compared to the media advertisement or something. That is very important, and it contributes to the business growth in overall. And so it also, so in business, we hire different kind of people with different kind of characters. So these personal characters affect in daily business operations. So basically, there are some people that are not comfortable enough, perhaps, to talk out to clients. They are not comfortable enough to have a conversation, an irrelevant conversation with a client. And also, so don't know how to set a foot with a client. So basically what I mean is that when a client comes and then you put a good conversation, you find a common ground with that particular client, that forms a very good relationship with that particular client, and then which also generates satisfaction with that client. and it contributes to the image of the business overall. Yes, and there are different ways in which people can enhance customer service. It's either both private or parastatals or public services. So I want to give an example of not JPF, sorry, but with Home Affairs, the one in Windhoek specifically. If you go there, Home Affairs offers a very good customer service, a very satisfying customer service, friendly people, like everything, it's very good. So that's just an example that says, even though you are in a public service or private service, customer service should be there, right? And it should be observed in both parties. So what people can do in this instance, they can give actually give lessons or training, on-job training about customer service, how to handle a customer, especially people within sales department, people within call centers. They always get this kind of training, how to handle customers, how to calm down when a customer is angry. But because you should remember, one of the things that you should remember is that when a customer is angry, it doesn't always mean that they're angry at you. Perhaps somebody bumped their car, like outside. So, and then they want to take their frustration out. So you must always understand. You must understand to yourself. You must talk to yourself and inner you, and just listen to the clients, apologize for the inconvenience if you are complaining about a particular service or product that your company offers, and then you just start off on the right foot with the client. So on how to improve these kind of services, people must do regular training. People must do they must also do training on communication skills, because without communication skills, unfortunately, there will be no customer service. Your customer service will not be that good, right? Because for people to serve this customer, right, they should have a sense of humor. They should also be able to relate on particular things. So this all serves by when a client have good communication skill. Yes, and I thank you.
Of course, on our next item, the Namibia National Students Organization, that is NANSO, is raising awareness about vaping among youth. And of course, as we know, research indicates that vaping can be harmful to both the heart and lungs. And of course, Eagle FM will now engage NANSO and doctors just to discuss the implication of vaping. And joining me in studio right now is Jesse Abraham from the NANSO, just to unpack more on this. A very good morning to you, Jesse, and welcome to the Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. Yeah, could you perhaps maybe just briefly explain why raising a campaign or rather awareness about vaping is important, and of course, what the main goals are?
Thank you very much. The Lost the Truth campaign, translating to vernacular Afrikaans for Leave the Vape, is an online campaign NANSO launched in response to the rising cases of vape usage in our schools. And the campaign emerges as an action plan in response to particularly NANSO's visits to our schools all over the country, where school principals have informed us duly of the usage of vapes on school premises, and we have received reports of learners engineering these vapes and adding drugs such as marijuana in vapes and smoking on school premises, and this has in turn badly infiltrated the school environment and negatively impacted active teaching time. But however, the campaign encompasses all young people, including students and trainees, because vape culture emanates from the demographic of youth between the ages of 16 to 25, who have noted that although most have reached age of majority, they still play a role in how minors are influenced and view vaping as harmless. And of course, we are trying to defeat that rhetoric.
Maybe just speak to us also about the implication of using vapes and, of course, how it might affect the students' performance in schools. I mean, you indicated that also students are now using the vapes in schools.
The aim of the campaign is essentially to do two things, to educate and to address. to educate the young people on the health risks of vapes that have been proven to be very severe, especially in the long run. They are linked to respiratory illnesses, chronic illnesses. Mm. I mean, vape is equal to 50 cigarettes almost. So we are really trying to ensure that young people understand this cognizantly. NANSO through the campaign also wishes to address the underlying aspects of vaping. Since the launching, NANSO has gotten more insight as to why people vape. Some have studied reduced stress and anxiety, which points to our youth demographics, understanding of mental health, accessibility and knowledge, and how it and how we can perhaps look into making sure that young people understand the alternatives, healthy alternatives to dealing with stress and so on. We hope to shed more light in detail on the campaign as it will run indefinitely, because the campaign also essentially just seeks to bring light more than addressing vape culture, but also the causes and effects of it socially, physically, mentally, and so on.
What more can NANSO do to ensure that students resist peer pressure regarding vaping?
Peer pressure is really one of the contributing factors to why vape culture exists.
Mm.
So as NANSO, we are really imploring or calling on to our stakeholders, be it the school principals, the school management, and our partners at the institutions to support us through their channels. We are aware that a few institutions, as peer educators, for instance, peer educators, their peer counselors, for instance. So we are looking into partnering with those structures within our educational institutions to ensure that the impact of the initiative is really reached beyond online, although in an online campaign. A lot of the commentary towards the campaign is that there's a lot of negativity surrounding it. But I really just want to encourage the Namibian populace that the hashtag Lost the Truth is not about calling out people who are vaping, but rather going back and starting the conversation and seeing the underlying issues. The problem or the fight is never towards people, but the subject matter. In this case, it's vape culture. So we really just implore the Namibian populace to hold our hands as we go along this journey of deleting rather vape culture from especially our schools, where our minors have severe access to these vapes and have severely impacted their learning time. When we launched it, we said we want this launch to speak to the partners we want to have. So we are looking at partnering with institutions that deal with helping people who have suffer from addiction and so forth. So the campaign is not only to show face or for the sake of it, but this campaign really speaks to helping the young people who want to be helped and also helping them to realize that they need help. So we are definitely going back to the drawing board constantly since we have launched, to see in what ways we can help young people and meet them halfway and perhaps bring the services to them. Bringing the services to the various institutions. We are going to do outreach. We are going to the schools physically, and we are educating them alongside the professionals of the various industries to ensure that this the impact of the campaign is measurable.
Thank you so much, Jesse, for having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Yeah, and on that, we also spoke with Dr. Matthews Mugwaya on the implication of vaping. We might listen. Doctor, as a doctor, can you briefly just discuss the implication of vaping and, of course, address the notion that it is less harmful than traditional smoking? How true is that?
Yeah, so vaping is also another form of smoking, even though they modernize it in a way that it has to contain liquid forms that are heat. Instead of the direct tobacco that is burnt. But at the same time, vaping also contains as well harmful substances that are more dangerous to our lungs, as you said earlier, and as well it's also harmful to our brain. Because one thing we have to understand is that vaping, it hides the danger in a sense of flavor. It contains flavor, which hides the danger of people saying that no, vaping is it's less harmful or it's dangerous. More of because people, they are hiding behind the flavor in it, and the fact that they don't need a match to light it and so forth.
Mm.
But then what we need to understand is that vaping contain chemicals as well. It contain nicotine, which is more, or it's one of the chemicals that is highly addictive. And this nicotine, in most of the time, is the one that causes especially harm in the adolescent brain development. So these are some of the risk factors or some of the dangers of vaping. And then as well with vaping, it also have other metal chemicals within it, or small particles as well that cause inflammation.
Okay.
They also cause the death of cells within our lungs or within our bodies. And at the same time as well, it also damage our DNA.
From a doctor perspective, what strategies maybe can be implemented to reduce vaping practices, especially among the youth?
Okay, now the strategies on how to reduce it, more of, we have to start with awareness, because awareness is one of the key of reducing something that is more dangerous to our community. So with awareness, lucky enough, the good thing is that most of the products or most of the flavors, when they are coming, they are already having their packages, they are already written the danger of it and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's not enough. People need to come on board, they need to come on radios, they need to come on television, they need to educate through newspapers. And this education at the same time, it need to be emphasized, especially in schools, because in schools, it's where more of our adolescents, they get influenced by friends and their peers. So it's good when our education, it includes this, so that our people will be more educated, and people, they have to come out and educate the nation when it comes to vaping. And because one thing as well that I have realized, and people, they don't see the danger of it, is that with vaping, more often vaping and hubbly, people, they don't see it more of as something dangerous. But if you analyze it and you can confirm with me, is that more of you, if you compare it with smoking, more often is that a person can smoke one cigarette within 5 minutes. But when it comes to vaping or this hubbly, you find that those people, you find them smoking, or vaping for even an hour, just often and constant. Or you find some people, like, they sunrise and then they are just vaping, or they are sunrising and they are just smoking hubbly bubbly. So you can see that the danger of it is too much, because even the time that they spend on it, it's more, quite a lot, compared to smoking on to smoking cigarette, which the time frame of it, it's more of less.
Mm-hmm. While you are there, doctor, I mean, according to research, vaping often leads to craving, wanting more to vape. Now, as a doctor, what advice maybe would you also give to someone that wants also to quit or stop vaping?
So the main cause why people are craving to vape, because of nicotine, as we say. Because more people, they think that, yeah, vaping doesn't contain a lot of substances like carbon monoxide and so forth. But as I stated earlier, that that vaping is also more dangerous. So we have to make sure that at least people, they are aware of the danger of nicotine, because mainly nicotine is a main cause of addiction of when it comes to smoking or vaping. And for one to stop, that person just need to make a decision. Because if you are aware that this is something dangerous to your health, mm-hmm. you have to decide and quit because you do not want any harmful or any danger on your own body. So one thing is that people need to be aware. They need to know that this is dangerous. This is harmful to my health, and they need to take a decision. And then they say, no, enough is enough. So I have to stop with this. And then that is the only way. Mm-hmm. And if people think that vaping is healthy, that is one of the miscommunication that okay. is among the nation. Mm. So people need to know that vaping is also dangerous. The only time one can say vaping it's less harmful, it's when they remove nicotine from it. If they remove any substance and it will just be pure, then people, they might say, that vaping is a bit less harmful. But the fact that there's still chemical within it, it's dangerous. And another thing is that mm-hmm. with vaping, again, it contains flavors. And let's understand one thing, that we understand that flavor, in terms of food-wise, flavor, it doesn't have any effect on our body, like how our guts or how our digestive system take the flavor, it doesn't have any effect on it. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to lungs, our lungs process differently. So the way our lungs is going to process the flavor, it's in a different way. So, and it also causes the damages of tissue within our lungs. So that is why more often we have to know that the way our lungs works, it's different to how our digestive system works in terms of flavor-wise. Yeah, so we have to understand that smoking also affects the economy of the country in an indirect way, in a sense that when the nation is sick, and we know that smoking causes lung cancer and other infections related to our lungs. So when one is sick, we know that our economy is already affected in a way that the country need to spend more money on medication, like for example, cancer medications to treat such patients. But once our country is free from it, we know that our people are healthy and our people are safe. So, and then we have to understand as well, one thing is that vaping or smoking or hookahs, the one that they call hubbly bubbly.
Yeah.
So people should understand that it's not only dangerous to the smoker themselves, but even to the people that are surrounding them that do not smoke. The fact that that person is smoking next to people that do not smoke, those people are also in danger. So when the person is smoking, he doesn't only put himself in at a health risk, but he also put other people at a health risk. So people, they need to know this, and as well, awareness need to be more broad. People, they need to be more educated that these things, they are very dangerous. And as well, parents, they need to stand up and sit with their kids and educate the kids about the danger of vaping or the danger of smoking, only for our nation to be healthy.
All right. Thank you very much, doctor, for having you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Right, to move on to the next item is that it has been recommended that Namibian companies in the financial sector follow a South African's latest legal standard for cybersecurity in the financial sector. Now, the South African Financial Sector Conduct Authority and the Prudential Authority have introduced regulation that outline how institutions should prevent, respond to, and recover from cyber threats. Now, according to the cybersecurity awareness specialist, Tanya Hopke, the South African new cybersecurity regulation offer a strong best practice framework for improving local cyber resilience. Now, that she has also recommended that local financial institutions and intermediaries follow suit. Now, this regulation marks a significant step forward for South Africa's financial system as they prioritize prevention, building public trust and set a strong example for digital resilience, one that Namibian financial institutions can adapt to strengthen their cybersecurity posture. Now, that what she recommended. Now, Hope's also recommendation also come at the time the country's latest financial stability report, latest analysis revealed that one of the main risks to the stability of the domestic financial system is cyber-related risk. And the report stated that the cyber-related risk has intensified with the probability of those risks materializing increasing in 2025. Now, on that, cyber risk remain elevated with a higher probability of materializing during 2025. Now, cyber threats in the form of phishing, spoofing, and over-reliance on third-party services providers remain key concerns, the report read. Now, according to Hopke, South African banks, issuers, patient funds, and financial services providers are now required to implement formal cybersecurity strategies, bold level oversight, and tested incident response plan. Now, the regulation also enforces regular system testing, access control, and strong cyber hygiene, including patching and more protection and secure system configuration. Now, this regulation forces institutions to take a hard look at their digital defenses. Now, it is no longer enough to react to threats. Now, institutions must prepare, test, and take responsibility before something goes wrong. That's what she said. She also recommended that all employees, including executive, must receive also cybersecurity awareness training. Now, as for the third-party service providers, Hoopke stated that they must also meet equivalent security standards, reducing risk across connected systems. Now, adding that the rule applied to institutions of all sizes and the standard is proportional, meaning smaller firms are not exempt. Every institution must show that it can prevent and recover from attacks. Now, cybersecurity is everyone's responsibility. That's what she said. Now, regular revenue and system updated are now part of regulatory compliance in South Africa. Now, the Namibian Financial System Stability Committee in their 2025 analysis reported that to address the cyber-related risk, the Cybersecurity Council made several recommendations. And those include increasing awareness campaign to combat phishing, strengthening firewall standards, implementing multi-factor authentication to counter spoofing, and enhancing procurement policies and due diligence procedures to manage third-party risk. Now, the bank that have been targeted by the number of various online and digital related attacks are required to continuously enhance their cyber risk management practices, according to the Financial System Stability Committee. The report said. Now, to move on to the next item, is that at the opening of the World Federation for Domestic Youth General Assembly in Windhoek, now President Netumbo Ndaitwah praised the Federation for its steadfast commitment to youth empowerment and international solidarity. We might take a listen to what she has to say more.
Namibia holds dear the values of multilateralism and international cooperation for the benefit of humanity. And that is what makes us to be part and parcel of this organization. Because with the rise of unilateralism, approach to the multilateralism, that will require the re-evaluation so that we will maintain a cohesion international system. Multilateralism is under threat. And when multilateralism is under threat, the weak, particularly we in the global south, we are becoming vulnerable. Hence the need for our young people to step in and to mobilize one another in order to defend the multilateralism that is to embrace all citizens of the world. Recently, Namibia co-chaired together with Germany what we call the Summit for the Future. The pact for the Summit for the Future has been agreed upon. And one of the issues underlined in the pact for the future is the maintenance of peace. And this is one element that this organization stands for. And that's why I'm calling on the members of this organization to make a critical analysis of the pact for the future and to identify the elements that will help them as we are uniting the people of the world to make sure that peace and social justice is maintained at all times. We hold to the conviction that freedom denies to one is freedom denies to all. And for us in Namibia and in SWAPO Party, as the ruling party in this country, we believe in self-determination. And that's why we will keep supporting the people who are fighting for self-determination, with particular reference to the people of Palestine and the people of Western Sahara. And all Namibians from all walks of life, they are familiar and they are in agreement with this policy of ours. We also respect sovereignty and territorial integrity of all countries of the world. And that's why we'll continue to demand the lifting of sanctions against Cuba, Venezuela, and Zimbabwe. It is so sad. It is unfortunate that in the 21st century, we are witnessing the loss of so many lives. Namibia, as it was mentioned by our interim chair of the National Youth Council, the wounds we suffered from the Imperial Germany genocide are still fresh. And it's more painful than we are seeing genocide being committed against the people of Palestine, while the international community seems to be hopeless. But we know that the people's spirit will never be defeated. One day, the people of Palestine will find themselves free and independent in their own country. Director of Ceremonies, time must come when the young people of the world again regroup in a more forceful manner to stand up and unite against injustice perpetuated in some parts of the world. No doubt there's something wrong in the international political order that needs to be addressed. As young people, we were told by our adults, we have nothing to lose. when we are fighting for a just a cause. What is in for us is just to win. And we are a living testimony. During our struggle, we have to face the power of the apartheid South African regime. We were never scared to confront them by talking and try to make them understand that we are human beings.
All right, there you had it. The time is 30 minutes in the hour, 7 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. So that marks our last update of the day. Thank you so much, and please hold on for the next segment or for the next show that is Unpacking of the Day with Tate Mike Oshaveli.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chika oshafathana nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimeneha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa zetu Moambo, dengera Selma, konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed. To
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsie Nehangano, The Osherero Omaimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Africans Sing for Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.